Get on the 305 train.
Boom, boom, boom,
a
boom,
big
boom.
Shirt, too. Punisher, mate. How good's that?
Stingray.
What's up?
So this is we're really communicating in like a time. We're traveling through time. You're speaking to me from the future, and I just wanted to acknowledge how cool it is that we can communicate through time and space like this. We have magical abilities.
Just like a telescope, my friend, looking through time, but it's a 14-hour time difference at the moment, and it's cold as hell here right now too. So I wish I was where you were.
Well, have you ever been to the United States?
That's on my to-do list. I've been to a lot of places, traveling overseas, not with the music and stuff, but just like scuba diving, traveling with family and that. But the States would be so good. The soup Nazi. I got to go see him.
Yeah.
It's probably ironic, but.
I don't know if that guy has that place in real life. I think there at a job that I used to work at, there was a sign for like the actual place.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the thing, the guy's face on it, and it said, "No soup for you."
That would be cool to experience. There's heaps of, America seems like an amazing place. Like, the land of opportunity. It's almost like Australia for people from other countries coming here. Just, you got to just go there sometime.
Yeah, I mean, well, I feel like I'm maybe too close to it. And I've always been here. I've always lived where I live. So I've always been, seeing American culture happen, so it doesn't seem like a bigger, better thing than what it might seem like to someone outside of the United States.
Yeah, it's still different. It's totally different. Like, I've got there's an American guy that works at one of my primary jobs. That's one of my day jobs, and he was telling me about the bears in America, and he goes, they're so scary in a way. Like, if you're out in the sticks, the bear will actually go for the soft parts first. So you they'll be working out in the sticks and then come across a bear and it'll start eating the anus out of an animal first because it's the softest part. And I was just like, what the fuck, man? That's terrifying. Like, so you're still alive essentially, and just they're going to start clawing away, digging out at you. Like, fuck that, man.
Well, they're obsessed with that. They're like overly anal.
Technically,
overly anal bears.
Let me have a sniff. It's so bad, bro. When he told me that, I was like, fuck that. No wonder everyone's got like fucking guns and shit. I've done a bit of shooting myself, but man, a bear would be scary. I don't think a gun would actually stop a bear, like if it was angry, you know? Like,
are you not? Guns aren't legal in Australia, are they?
They are, but you need a license and you need to get an application, and they're very strict on it.
Yeah.
So,
because I remember Jim Jeffries talking about the guns in one of his specials. He's like, fuck you, we want our guns. Trying to steal the guns away, trying to take guns away from Americans or something. And it's like they can't do it, or like one bad shooting in Australia and they took people's guns away. But
yeah, American, I know, it's kind of silly. It's probably a sensitive topic too with some people. So, but okay. My sister actually does a lot of shooting. I've got nieces that are really good. They go clay target shooting, duck hunting, and stuff all the time.
Like the video game,
exactly.
Is there a chuckling dog? Were they?
How old school was that game anyhow? We'd remember the similar age group. The graphics was terrible, but it was so much fun too.
It was a level of interactive that nothing had ever been before that. So like, unless you were at a video arcade, you weren't able to actually shoot at the screen. So the fact that they have that like sensor in it and stuff like that, it was state of the art. So you didn't even blink about how pixelated the images were.
I think that was the same time zone. Was it a Time Crisis? The same kind of gun, Time Crisis?
Oh, yeah.
That game as well?
And I used to play that at the arcade, and I had the gun.
That was intense. That was intense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked.
But same with like, you're all right, man.
I worked at an arcade where we had Time Crisis, and mm-hmm. when the whole place would close, I would just take handfuls of coins and just tokens out of the token machine and just put them right back into the games and play Time Crisis like a good amount of the night.
I don't know if it's the same in America, but I'm originally from Brisbane, and I know a lot of places we used to do a hack, and you could get like fake coins, and you'd basically just drill a hole in one side and get some fishing line and put it down the machine, and you just like toggle it, and you just get all these credits, and it'd be like doop, 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 doop.
No, I mean, maybe I just was never, I didn't go to a lot of like video arcades and stuff, except for like the one I worked at, really. So maybe it was going on like that way before I had ever worked there or done anything like that.
Well, to be honest, most of my time as a youth growing up was being hanging around the skating ring and trying to get laid. And then we get a carton of VB throwdowns. So back in the day, you could get a carton for $20, and they were called grenades. So they're little, basically two sips of a glass, and you just scull it and then just smash the bottle. And we'd get two or three cartons, and we would be fucked. And then go to the skating rings, skate around, try and pick up some girls. Everyone thought that they were somewhere else, and we lied to our parents and said we're out there. Yeah, we're doing something sensible, but we're all getting fucked up. So good.
What a character. So that inside of that kind of area, when you were mm-hmm. in that like kind of party mode as a youth, is that where you kind of came up with the character that Stingray is?
Yeah, you could probably say like everything that I've come through, all the bad experiences in life and this and that. I've only really developed the Stingray character in the last year. Say I've traveled around Australia. I was a maintenance carpenter in the mines, double diploma in project management. I've got heaps of tickets and everything, crane operator, forklift. I've got it. I can go on all night about that, but I'm at the point of my life. And 11 months ago, I just thought, fuck it. I need something more. And I bought a drum set. I started getting drum lessons to try and get some rhythm, and then just went full nuts out. I got the behind me, I got a studio. If you can see, it's probably switched off a bit. I go, but just turn this on. I bought all the stuff I needed to get. See if I can remember my password. There we go. Making music videos, doing everything.
Nice. So
it's been an 11-month journey, just crazy. I think I might have a bit of a problem.
And it was just like something hit you and was like, yeah, I got to do all this. I just have to do it. And
yeah. And like exactly, crazy, my friend,
hair up your ass kind of thing.
Yeah. I actually know the trigger was, you could say, I wasn't really diagnosed with any mental illness or anything, but I was like on the borderline, like not over, but just under, but still possibly classified as like mild bipolar. And mm-hmm. the energy, it was from everywhere, and I had to direct it somewhere. So it all went into that. And basically, I've just been flat out, mate. Like the last 11 months, I had no music theory, no knowledge or anything. I've got, I can read music now, play a little bit of music. I started making my own beats, mixing and mastering, writing lyrics, making songs, singing them, recording them. I actually went out on stage for my first open mic last night. So I've got some little goodies behind that, behind the scenes coming up.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Absolutely crazy.
It's grit, man. It's balls. It's something that, like, not a whole lot of people will go, I have no knowledge of this at all, but I just feel like I must do this, and I'm going to do this. And a lot
and
of
I'm
times,
too deep in,
right? Too deep in, and like you said, you're working for a really long time, and mm-hmm. getting to a certain age where you're like, hey, man, if I want to do some things, I'm gonna damn do them, you know, and
get it done,
crack it out,
and not just that, I'm dying, man, I'm actually dying.
Are you?
I've got maybe another 40 years left, so I'm, yeah, well, everyone's yeah. dying, you know, that's the way
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I got 40 years left if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, most people, when they retire different ages. I don't know what it's like in America. Your retirement age is 65 or whatever, yeah, and then 60, you stop working, you keel over.
Yeah, it's what a weird age. My mom just turned 60, or I think she just turned 63.
Okay.
I don't know.
I forget my mom's age too, man.
Yeah, I don't know how old my mom is, but I know that her and I have the same exact birthday.
It's funny, yeah. That's very unrare.
I was born on my mom's 24th birthday. Mm-hmm. I know that part makes sense, but I don't remember how old she is. And I know her and my father are the same age, and my father just turned 64 like last week or something, so I think my mom's 63. I don't know.
What's the I got a random question for you, because my father's passed away. He was a warrant officer, class 2 in the army, very strict upbringing, like hard to the core. So he started in transport, did logistics, and then finished in infantry, so had a few battalions under him. Ruthless upbringing, very strict, right? But I did some really serious things to piss him right off. What's the most you pissed your parents off? Have you got a story or?
I know that when I was like 14, I got arrested and my mom had to come pick me up from the police department. And I know she was just, I think I just broke her heart more than I wasn't pranking her in any way. It wasn't like pissing her off. She wasn't mad or annoyed at me. She was just kind of heartbroken. And I think pretty soon after that, I discovered like wrestling and deciding that like I wanted to develop my life in a better direction and pursue being a pro wrestler.
Which is very hard too. People don't realize like it might be set up to a degree, but you get hurt and you got to be tough, you got to have the conditioning, you got to train for it. It's not something easy, it's not something that everyone can do. And dad brought us up with the wrestling side of things too. I totally respect that, man. Like, that's so awesome. So cool, super cool.
What era are you talking? What era of wrestling? Who was like the top stars when you watched it?
Oh, like The Undertaker, even like old school back in the day, Hulk Hogan. Just all mixed. Dad used to watch. He used to love it all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good. Even where we used to practice some of the moves in a real fight situation. If you did some of those moves on someone, it would cripple them. Put them in a wheelchair.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what people don't realize. It's not just all fake. Very good entertainment, but.
Well, like the weird thing about it is like they talk about like, well, someone will come right out and try to dismiss pro wrestling by saying it's fake. And they go, oh, don't you know that stuff's fake? I'm like, you don't know what fake really means. Have you been punched the way pro wrestlers punch people? Have you been kicked the way pro wrestlers kick people? Like, have you ever touched that ring before? Do you know how not soft that thing is? Do you know how much every single thing hurts? Have you ever touched a ring? Do you know what those ropes feel like? Like, those are steel cables. We're bouncing off steel cables. I don't know that's if you're going to say what I'm doing is fake, explain the pain. Explain all the pain that I'm in. That all that pain is very real, and I've sacrificed my life a million times, and I've like sacrificed many things in my life.
Like Mankind and Socko?
Yeah.
Choke people out with the sock? Man, he had so many cage fights, and he was covered in blood everywhere. Like, he would have got fucked up.
He got – did you ever see that he got his ear ripped off?
No.
He only has one ear because he got his head caught in between the steel cables, and he got it stuck in between. He was like hung up on the steel cables, and it pulled his head out and it pulled his ear off.
Man, that's crazy.
Fake.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Fake.
Yeah, it's not fake. It's not fake. Well, actually, when I was talking about a parent, I think it would have been maybe six, seven years ago when Dad was still alive. I was having a family barbecue at my place in Brisbane, and I had my niece, nephews over, little kids, all my family. I'm cooking on the barbecue, and the police knock at the door, and they're like, oh, the police are at the door. So I walk out to the door with the tongs, and I'm like, hey, guys, what's going on? And they're like, I won't say my real name. I'll say, are you Stingray? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you're coming with us? And I was like, what for? It's my fucking birthday, mate. I've got the tongs in my hand. I'm the chef. And it was a Kiwi officer, and he went for the door at the same time I did, but I was quicker, and I just went bang and locked the door. And he ended up breaking in through the door. I was trying to finish the barbecue, and it was just a minor thing that ended up getting sorted out and in the long run anyhow. But when the police came in, they were so aggressive. They bailed me up. And my niece, she was terrified. She was only like 6 or 7 at the time. She's like, what have you done, uncle? What have you done? And I was like, this is what happens if you don't brush your teeth. And
that's a way to really make an impact.
Oh, yeah. And she's pretty good now, by the way. And I think it's because of me. It's tough love. You got to do it. You know what I mean?
This is what happens when you don't finish your vegetables. The police come for you. They break the door.
Yeah, I've got family all over Australia, but I really like, I think Melbourne's where I call home. I've been here for a few years. So, and the music culture is amazing. Like I said, I went to an open mic night last night. I had an absolute blast. It was in a place near Fitzroy, if you've ever heard of that place, but it's like really yuppie and a lot of weird people. Like, the dogs have jumpers and shit, and fucking everybody's very open, and so you got to be careful what you say. But I did approach the guy that was running the venue, and I said, do I have to watch what I say or whatever? And the first guy that got up was just dropping the C word. He's like swearing, fuck this, fuck that. And this
C word, huh?
Heaps of stuff. Yeah, I don't say it because, I said that in front of my mum once, and she had me up against the oven. She was like slapping. She's like, don't you ever say that word in front of me again. That's kind of how I was brought up. Like, just there's certain things you shouldn't say, and maybe that's one of them. So I wouldn't say that on camera anyhow.
I was just watching an episode of 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever watched that show?
No, I haven't, my friend.
Jack McBrayer. Mm-hmm. He was like, Liz Lemon, you're being real C-word right now. He's like, you're cranky queen or whatever he said. He's being real
good
cranky.
Cover.
And I was like, I'm using that one.
There's a lot of good cover-up words, like for fuck. You can say fire truck. So you go, oh, for fire truck. I used to do that with...
it's a real good one. Fire truck. I put a note in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think yesterday when I said note to self, start replacing how often you say the word dingbat with ding boat, and then think about like a little sailboat, and then hey, quit playing with your ding. I say dingbat so much in this world, but
that's harmless, isn't it? It's like a
Oh yeah, it is. But I just thought it'd be funnier to think about Tommy Boy when he's like in the sailboat and he goes, "Hey, quit playing with your dinghy."
I think that's one of the, you just triggered another memory too. I remember my dad was so strict because I've told you the history of that, but man, he was fucking ruthless. Like I got beat up a little bit, but not like some other people probably had worse upbringings. I was pretty, very lucky. Always had a roof over my head and he basically paid for everything, which is what every parent should do. And yeah, I remember you talking about playing with your dingbat. I remember the first time I was growing up as a teenager and I was in the shower and fucking, obviously it's a natural thing, having a wank and fucking, mate, dad used to always fucking bash on the door, stop fucking around, get out of the shower. And I remember the first time I had a wank, it was like chickens were flying out of my arsehole. I couldn't believe it. Fuck, I'm bucking. I was like, what the fuck is this? So bad. It's like heroin, mate. The first hit, you're always chasing that first hit. And I've been doing it for 20 years. I still do it. I did it the other night. Totally natural too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No judgment. Zero judgment because, dude, no. I think shame living around that kind of thing makes it hard for you to stay who you genuinely are. So yeah. I'm going to never make anybody else feel shame because I wouldn't want anybody else to make me feel shame for anything I ever do. Yeah. I mean, I never promised anybody I was going to be perfect. I was going to never promise you that I'm going to be without sin because part of my learning process is going to be, I'm human. Exactly.
As long as you're not doing it in a park and in the daytime.
Or on the bus. Or on the train.
Or if you're not wearing a big trench coat and just like really walking real slow while you're doing it.
Have a shopping slow center.
Just so you're using the fingers only. Look, just the fingers is so fucked up. But it's a technique too.
You just use two like both hands.
Oh, dude, fucking what was it? It was another podcast or something. Someone was saying the other day, a girl, no, at the open mic night, one of the girls, she was a mega Andrew Tate hater, hardcore. It actually intimidated me a lot because I was actually after her. And it was my first time, so I didn't know what to expect. But she was talking about heaps of crazy stuff like masturbation, talking about the clit, fucking feminism and all this stuff. Like, this is what Melbourne's like.
Was she singing? Or was she just doing comedy?
Poetry night. So poetry, I actually I rocked up to a poetry night because I thought it was an open mic. So I was going to be intentionally rapping. And then I just walked into this like, save the trees, eat your broccoli, count to three. You know, like it was actually very good and entertaining. But I still threw a rap out, which was pretty cool. The crowd loved it. So I was pretty happy with that.
Nice.
But in Victoria, my friend, that's the thing is like, equality is very important for men and women. Like, because my primary job's in construction. A lot of guys people don't realize the suicide rate's amazingly high for guys in construction because they're the supporters, the breadwinners, and basically like the divorces and relationship breakdowns, it crushes the men. You know what I mean? Or they can't see their kids, really bad stuff. So in Victoria, I think it's a little bit unfair towards the men. And it's more favored in the women's side of things, in everything, in equality. It basically goes women, kids, fish, the dog, and then the men come last, which is kind of sad.
The fish is above the dog? What a weird backwards-ass country, man.
Yeah, well, like I said, when my ex-missus died, I replaced it with a fish tank. So still high maintenance, man. I still have to look after it all the time, too.
Might eventually get a similar smell.
It tastes the same, but maybe my fish tank's a bit fresher. Only because I clean it all the time. Like you said, there's no limits. What about dating? Is so bad for so many reasons. Like when you're a guy and you have needs and you obviously you don't get to use your penis for a while, so your standards are gonna drop dramatically. This is for every guy, and I know this from experience. And I've had some girls, like, you can just know, like, when you take their pants off and you just get this smell and your face is, like, already a meter away, you're like, fuck, man, where's your hygiene? I've got some Femfresh in the shower. Just maybe go have a shower first. You know, it's like a pH-neutral body cleanser. Because, the vagina is all pH balances and stuff. But I know a lot about that, too, because I've been doing that for 20 years. But
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna stop you on talking about that kind of thing. I think hygiene is important, and
100%.
I mean, and a lot of it comes to, like, with any of it, it's like what you're bringing to the table, what value do you have? If you're not keeping yourself clean, if you're not like, I mean, that goes for me too. I mean,
I'm 100%.
I'm saying, like, I gotta make sure that what I'm bringing to the table is valuable, and what I want to be with me. If I wasn't me, what I want? If I were her, what I want to be with me? Like that. Those kind of questions go through my head, and I think about the kind of partner I am to Alyssa, my girlfriend. And I think about, like, how would I feel if I were her, kind of stuff.
And the thing is too, like, it's so weird. Like, we'll never understand how women actually feel and how they, because we're totally different creatures, you know what I mean? From different planets. But I mean, I've dressed up in suits and gone out and bought limos and wined and dined and haven't even been lucky enough to get a kiss off a woman. But then I've been in my work clothes, literally, like, this is a true story. Literally, I had Adidas pants on, work clothes, high vis, dirty, like, grease shit on me. I stunk. I had no deodorant or anything. And my pants were literally half ripped. You could see my underwear. And I ended up meeting this girl, went to a bar. She was giving me a hand job at the bar. Security's looking at me. We're at the table and I'm wigging out because it's like in a public place, but we're kind of hidden. And she's whispering in my ear, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm never dressing up for a girl again. If this is what I get when I'm fucking all grubby as fuck. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah,
all right. Standards, totally standards are back to low. Keep the standards back to low. They went 100%. High and then back down.
Yeah, but then after a while, it goes back up to high again. Because you got to dress to impress. I feel like the way I was brought up with mum too, you've always got to open the door for a lady, make sure they're protected, look after them, you know what I mean? Like, make sure they feel comfortable. That's key, no matter what. That's first. But yeah, the story with the hand job at the table, that was just random. That was, I wasn't in control of that situation. I just went with the flow.
You were just going with the flow.
Any normal guy would do the same thing.
got a hand jet to ya.
And also, like, I absolutely love, like, the culture when it comes to, like, Asian women in Melbourne. Because there's a massive culture difference between, like, a Western woman.
Yeah.
Where basically I've dated a lot of Western women and they're fucking batshit crazy, bro. Like, they are fucking crazy as a cut snake. But the Asian women, they come from a different culture. So they want to kind of support you, help you out, cook for you. Like, the old traditions, you know what I mean? The way I was brought up. And that's kind of getting phased out now because, like, equality and then people, you know, standing up and femininity, like, the guys are becoming girls these days. Like, fucking the way they do the hair, it's fucking shit. Like, if my dad was alive now and he's seen half the guys, he'd be like, what the fuck? It's probably going to get worse. Imagine the future.
Dude, I don't know about, I know it's going to be different, but I don't know about worse. I mean, I don't know if if I would say, I think it's going to like start kind of equaling out where like hopefully common sense kind of starts coming into things. Did you ever see
GPT?
Yeah, right.
ChatGPT. It's gonna take over everything.
It's gonna take over everything.
You're safe. You're safe.
The algorithms are gonna protect me from AI taking over.
I've actually had a few people. Sorry to get off. It's like people question. So with the rap and the music that I make, a lot of it was from, it's all from the heart. It's the artist, it's got to come from the heart. Otherwise it's nothing, right? And I've had people say to me, which is a compliment because it's like ChatGPT is pretty intelligent. Someone said to me that, am I using that to make my lyrics? And I was like a little bit offended, but I was like, nah, it's all from the heart. Well, my flow and my timing.
You know, it would be a cool idea, and it would make for a cool music video. Where if you like made a song, and you're like, okay, I'll write one verse, then AI writes the next verse, then I write it would be like a battle rap between you and AI, and then like you record both parts of it, and cut it together where it's like AI is you singing. Like you could call that like Ray Sting or something, and Ray Sting the AI versus Sting Ray the real guy.
Oh, you're a poet and you didn't even know it.
Yeah,
that was all right. That was good. No, but there's a massive, my friend. There's a massive difference between actual like after this conversation with the ChatGPT and writing lyrics. I've actually looked into it myself. And there's no tone. It's totally different. There's no human character. It sounds totally different. And the main thing that I've learned along this process for the 11 months with my music career and acting and comedian, whatever you want to say that I am, is basically everything's got to come from the heart. The computers will never replace the person in whatever you're doing. Maybe at Coles through the checkout. But that's
you know what I mean? Yeah, self checkout all the time at any store, any grocery store, and just go do it yourself.
Even change the price tag on there for something cheaper.
Sure. I mean, what are they gonna do? Cut your hours?
I can't believe how much these tampons are. $10.95. Just change the price tag. Boop. They make good earplugs tampons if you don't have earplugs.
So, yeah, if you're like at a concert or something and you need earplugs to protect your ears, tampons.
Yeah. Why do tampons have strings? Do you know that? So crabs can go bungee jumping. That's what I've heard. There's no limits on here, mate. Just coming out. It's coming out.
I was thinking like I just heard somebody talking about a tampon string like yesterday on something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a natural thing, but yeah. I wouldn't use them for earplugs. I recommend. Maybe they're too big.
Or, put it in for nosebleeds or whatever. Like in that.
Yeah, that would work.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Like, what about you in your career? Have you ever used what would you shove up there if you got a bud nose? Whatever.
Nothing.
Grab a tampon. Just shove it in. You couldn't stick your finger in there.
Some tissue, roll up some tissue or something and shove it up there.
Mm-hmm. I try not to fight. Like the main thing is like I have had a real serious problem, say back in the day, with actually sticking up for people that are weaker, especially women and children, sick people or bullies. That is my biggest hate, is bullies. And it's actually got me in a lot of trouble in my life growing up, because when I see the bully, like maybe 10 years ago I couldn't fight and I didn't have any skill or anything, but now I'm pretty confident that I'm a ninja in many forms and in final form as well, with some wrestling skills. But it got me in a lot of trouble, and I prefer never to fight now. I never fight, but I'll always fight for love. That's a good one for the dating apps too. Fight for love, yeah. Fight for love. I love that.
I just was telling a story to my brother today earlier about me remembering this. This memory just popped in my head earlier today for some reason. I remember sticking up for this kid in gym class in eighth grade. I was a sped kid, and they had me and like other sped kids would come into the gym class with all the other kids that were in the regular classes, and they would make fun of us and say the R word to us. And and I remember being like, I heard the kid call the other sped kid, the challenged kid, the special kid that was also in the class. I heard him call him a stupid R word. And I was like, yo, dude, cut it out. You got to cut it out, dude. Just stop. And then he called me one. And I was like, real quick, can you just confirm you did say this to me, right? Because I want to make sure when I get in trouble for kicking your ass, that that I know I wasn't misunderstood. So then I walked up to the guy, and I didn't want to like strike him because I feel like I could get in more trouble for that. So I just like picked him up by his neck. I don't know why. I just decided that I was going to pick this kid up by his neck, and he had a tennis racket in his hand. This was gym class. I'm like, he could have really hurt me with it. But as soon as I started, as soon as I picked him up, he just started crying and crying and crying. And then went to the principal's office, and he was still crying in the principal's office. And then I told my side of the story, what had happened.
He was a baby.
And the principal looked at him and he said, look, dude, you're being a real bitch. You can't be a bully and a bitch at the same time. You can only be one of those things.
Straight up. That's a real principle there. Straight up. You could never say that now these days. I used to get the cane. I'm fucking straight across there, mate. Fucking bam. That's pain. That's like a whip. It's like a fucking whoosh. Feel that shit, especially if you're a kid. The good old days.
Did they cane you? Did they have like the kendo sticks, like the Singapore canes?
No, kendo sticks, man. They'd break the kids' fingers, bro. Fucking sods. Straight up, fucking to be like this. Boom, gone. I'm pretty sure it was just like a bit of bamboo, my friend. And the principal used to always fray the end of it. So it was never clean. And it'd be like all frayed and broken at the end. And he'd give it a few warm-up cracks on the desk. And he'd go, hold your hand out. You hold it out. And he'd go for the first strike. And then you just pull it away because you're scared, like a kid. But some parents were ruthless. You get home. If you got the cane, then you get flogged as well. So bad. But it taught us a lot of life lessons, you know what I mean? Don't fuck up. And instill the fear of God from your father, which all dads should be like. I don't have any kids, but these days, everyone's too soft. You know, you got to have a bit of tough love.
I think there is an epidemic of people forgetting how to be accountable and being not knowing how to navigate in this world because they fear like hurting somebody's feelings so much.
Because
somehow the world has become less forgiving. It's like easier to get your feelings hurt and then like cancel somebody completely and never hear their point of view and never learn a new thing when you are just arguing your point of view and how you're oppressed. Maybe don't be so quick to kind of judge, right? Like we all want to learn each other's point of views. Yeah.
We're human. We're not perfect. That's another thing too you just triggered is like people too worried about saying the wrong thing or whatever. Like, I'm a man of brutal honesty. I say how it is. And I've got friends that actually, I've had a friend approach me the other day talking about dating too. And he's like, he's sick of putting his time and effort into girls, texting, talking, phone numbers, hours on the phone, and then they just ghost him. And I was like, that's just how it is these days. People don't want to talk about, they'd rather just forget about it. Like you said, wipe them out, not talk about it. But I'm always like, if I don't have a good connection with a woman on a date, is I'd be like, oh, you're a great person, but yeah, it didn't work out. I didn't feel anything, you know, like I'm sure you'll be fine kind of thing. And even at work, it's the same thing at work. If someone's got a problem, people just go, oh, he's a dickhead, don't speak to him. No, you're better off confronting it and talking about it. Like, but a lot of people aren't like us.
I'm really like brutally honest sometimes too. And mm-hmm. I think that I can get, not that I can get away with it, not because it's, I'm not trying to get away with anything. It's just that like people aren't going to get from me the same thing they get from every other person. So it's like, I'll ask you the questions that no one else will ask you because they're afraid to, but I'll ask you because like I'm sincere in wanting to know. And I'm like genuine in like seeing how maybe I could hear whatever that is and maybe suggest something that might work, or you know, giving you my perspective on it. Unsolicited advice, like a narcissist. They're like the narcissist.
I have something similar. Like on a job site not long ago, like brutal honesty, and fucking everyone's too serious in life. I'm going to be real. Everyone's too serious. You got to fucking have a joke, mate. You got to liven up. And I approached some guy, probably the wrong thing to do, never met him before, and he had a vacuum cleaner, and he's on his hands and knees, and he's cleaning some shit up. It's like a wet area. You got to clean it all before you put all the primer in for the wet area of the bathroom. And I go, hey, mate, have you ever stuck your dick in a vacuum cleaner? And he was some big Russian dude, like 10 times the size of me. And he stood up and he's like, I never do this. Why do you say this to me? And I was just like, fuck, this is the wrong guy to say this to. But that's the attitude everyone should have on life. Ask the guy, have you stuck your dick in a vacuum cleaner? Whatever. Fucking mate, even ask the guy if you want a hug. Are you okay?
You'll never know if you don't ask. I mean, yeah, if that's something you're sincerely curious about, mm-hmm. let's ask about it. I wonder if anyone has ever stuck their dick inside a vacuum cleaner before. I never have.
I haven't, but you've just triggered me. Is if you Google, there's websites, right? Not illegal. It's all legit.
I don't want to see it.
No, I'm saying there's so many male people that have stuck their member into objects. Like there's been, if you ask a firefighter that's going to rescue heaps of people, there's probably a few crazy stories inside of pool filter and stuff, vacuum cleaners, heaps of fucking weird shit, bro. Because I get on the drinks with the boys and we'll just be Googling random stuff. And that come up too.
How did it get to that? How did it get to that being the thing that you guys started Googling?
Just totally random, man.
Let's randomly look up the weirdest stuff guys have gotten their penises stuck in.
Yeah. You sure, know you're going to do it. When we finish this podcast, you're going to do it.
I can't. I won't.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy. There's so many crazy people out there. But that's what I'm trying to do with my music too, is like just, you know, let all the craziness out, go with the flow. It's kind of like there's a lot I can say, but there's like a few things that I couldn't say. Like I've actually got a song called Asianic. It's about Asian girls because I love the Asian culture and it's super cool. I reckon it's one of my vibiest songs ever. But yeah, that's a good thing about music, is you can really release what you want to say. Crazy, good, bad, as long as it's respectful. But that's the thing, is like with music, you can almost say disrespectful stuff. A lot of rappers call women bitches and stuff like that. Like I never have, but I wouldn't call my mum a bitch. But when it comes to rap and stuff like that, it's fucking bitch, hoe, ass, fucking, you know what I mean? Just, it's nothing. And the girls don't mind it either. But
oh yeah, like I say that stuff about women all the time, bitches and hoes and all that stuff.
You do not. I bet you
Yeah. You know, just walking down the street saying, "Hello, bitch. What's going on, dude?"
Oh, that's so good. Yo, what time's the next bus coming, boo? Ho? Nah, it's fucking sad. I get shot. You get shot in America because even grandmas carry guns there, apparently.
I don't have a grandma, so I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. My apologies.
You know, gun violence took out my grandma, so I'm double triggered.
Really?
Oh no, I'm triple triggered. Ah!
Oh, for real? That's so good. But if it's true, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's not true. I'm just playing around.
The worst kind of gun violence I've ever heard about was when I was in Brisbane. A group of guys I used to hang around. Oh, there was two instances. Somebody went around someone's house. It was over drugs and money or whatever. And a guy pulled a handgun out, went to shoot the other guy, shot himself in the foot. And the guy that shot himself in the foot started running away. And the other guy come out with a crossbow, shot him dead with the crossbow. He's still in jail now. And I was like, how the fuck does it even get that far? Like, it's always people that hurt people with guns and weapons. It's not the weapons itself. Like, it's pretty fucked. But we don't have the same rights here as what you do. Are you chewing on your hand or are you just yawning?
No, I was yawning. I'm sorry.
Mate, you're a hard worker. It's all good.
Yeah, man. I just got back from the gym. Getting my pump in.
Oh, I've been trying to work on mine too. See that? Look, no wrestling, bro. No wrestling.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that's a good little screenshot. Look at that.
Hell yeah, man.
Is there any girls watching this? Maybe check it out.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't get the analytics on when girls are watching and when they're not.
Yeah, okay.
But we'll find out when they start flooding the comments section with check those guns out and think
from both of us.
And they're like, Stingray, he's the one that killed Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, right?
Oh, that's a sensitive topic, but I don't give a fuck. And I'm a bottom feeder, I'm the Stingray. Yeah, I did it. He's a top bloke, but fucking someone's gotta be the Stingray, someone's gotta be Steve Irwin, mate. Like, fuck.
Did you ever see that Norm MacDonald thing? When he was talking about the crocodile hunter getting killed by a stingray, and crocodiles are like, it wasn't even one of us.
But here's some trivia for you. You know, the actual in Australia, I do a lot of scuba diving too. I've got all my own gear, fully qualified, deep diver, PADI certified. I see stingrays all the time. There's a bull ray, which is fucking nearly 2-3 meters wide. Scary. It's huge. It's like a car, man. But the stingray that killed Steve Irwin, it was the barb that went into his heart. And this is the scariest part about stingrays. When the barb goes in, it's got hooks. So it'll go in and you'll actually breathe. So when you breathe in, you'll be like, and then when you breathe out, the barb goes in further. So every breath you take, it just goes in further and further. Like, it's fucking, and mega, I think they're toxic, venomous, everything, like all kinds of nasty shit. And they're like fucking that big, man. Super scary. I don't want to mess with the stingray. That's messing with myself too.
I won't do it.
Not as scary as a bear, but in America, I suppose, but.
Well, I mean, it really depends. I mean, if you got a really clean butthole, maybe these.
Back to the. I reckon they'd still go for it anyhow, man. How fucking scary is that? So scary. I got this here too. Before, I don't know if you've ever had it before. Like whiskey, 15 years old, something nice. A little bit of a drop.
Neat.
Feeling
neat.
A bit fancy.
Cool.
Do you drink yourself, mate, or?
I don't know.
No?
I I'll have a beer here and there every once in a while, but
beers are good.
But I don't really drink, especially like liquors and
mm-hmm.
booze and stuff. Like I don't mess with that stuff because it kind of like the pros and the cons. The cons always outweigh the pros.
100%. I've got on that note too, like I've got a friend who is a prime example of that, is to not drink if you can't handle it. He is fucking crazy. We go to a bar and he'll be like, how many? And the bar lady, guy, whoever, they'll be like, how many what? And he'll be like, how many 50 cent pieces can I fit in my foreskin? And I was like, man, what the fuck are you doing? But this dude can get like at least 10, 15, 50 cent pieces, bro, inside his foreskin on the counter and just goes, boom, and drops all the 50s.
And we're how like, did you come across that you have that talent? How did you figure out that you're able to hold that because many coins?
He shouldn't be drinking, bro. He shouldn't be drinking. Prime example. If that's the level you get to when you drink, stop straight away.
I think it's time for some change in his life, and not the kind that's going to go on his PC.
It's so good. So good.
Jeez.
He's pretty wild. I can say his name. It's all good. His name's Craig, and we say he's got Craig rage because when he drinks too much, he's not a very happy chappy.
I get
cheers, Craig.
You know what? I'll drink some of my water here.
Well, it is early for you, so that's a big jug you got there, brother.
Thanks. Candy? I grew it myself. Crap, what was I just talking about?
Craig Rage. You've got a friend.
Oh, yeah. No, when I get too much to drink, or if I, you know, have mixed drinks, or if I have like shots or something, I get myself into a point where it's like, not that I'm tired, but I just decide that I'm not going to talk to anybody else. Like, I'll just get to where I'm like falling asleep, but not really being asleep. I'm just kind of like passing out, sitting here, and I'm not somebody I'd want to hang out with. I'm not somebody I'd want to be friends with in the moments where I become somebody I don't like.
Yeah, well, at least you're aware of that. So that's the biggest problem with drinking, is people that aren't aware of that. I'm sure you're a fine person when you're drinking, but if that's your perception of yourself, you are the man for accepting that and being aware of that. You know what I mean? Self-awareness is a big thing.
It's not like that for when I drink beer and stuff, but when I drink like brown liquors, or if I drink mixed drinks or something, I get it. I turn into like a downer, and I wouldn't want to be around me.
We don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
Nobody likes me here.
Well, that's the thing. It's definitely a downer. Like, it doesn't make you, like, you might feel good for a little bit, but the next day you're hungover, down, you're depleted of nutrients, like fucking dehydrated. It's not a good thing. Like, fuck, I don't know why we do it. It's poison, but I'm doing it now.
I'd rather smoke weed every day of the week than.
Oh, so do you smoke every now and then?
I'm a stoner.
So on that note, in Melbourne, you can get legal weed. So it comes in little canisters like this. So you open it up and you get these little canisters. So the weed's in there. It's like medical grade. And then you get a vape as well. And you can just – it's not as harsh when you smoke it.
Yeah.
So good. I don't smoke that much, but every now and then I do. It really helps me with the music, especially when I've made a track. Like – weed's so good. I've actually watched a documentary on blind kids and stuff that fucking their quality of life is down. So their parents have medical grade legal weed for the kids. They smoke it and they enjoy music more. So I've taken that on key after I make some tracks or developing something, I'll smoke some weed, have one or two drinks, and listen to it. And honestly, my friend, it sounds totally different. It's like a new track all over. You can hear all the details, pick out the flaws, and it's like a really good way to structure it before you want to release it. It's very good. I haven't had any yet, but
have you ever looked at the back of a $20 bill on weed?
No, I haven't. I'll have to try that out.
It's from the movie Half Baked. If you've ever seen it,
okay.
It's a it's the part that Jon Stewart played.
Mm-hmm. I've developed my own brand. I actually looked on your website. I'm really impressed with all the criteria, the shirts, everything you got going on in the background. I'm actually starting to do that myself. I've got my own, if you can see behind me, got the Stingray jacket. So these little jackets, super cool. Pretty awesome. I've got the embroidery in here. This is all copyright too, by the way, but that's the Stingray bear. It's an image created from my dad who was in the army. So I've got the army stuff going on.
Where can one get one of those?
My website will be up in 20 days. So I'll have shirts. I've got Pissing Excellence. I've got Stingray. These ones, Stingray as well. Baseball style, American, if you like that.
Yeah, it's pretty American.
A lot of knickknacks, actually. I've got Stingray herb mills for chopping up
neat.
Weed.
Yeah.
So they're all happening. I've got incense. These are like rolling trays. So rolling
nice.
Weed up the Stingray there. Pretty cool. Incense for in your car. Hang the bear up, mate. So cool.
That's great.
But basically a bit of foundation, because when it comes to music, and this is what I've learned in this last 11 months, is a lot of people that you don't have to have just good music. It's not going to make it this day and age. Spotify streaming is dismal. It's fucking peanuts. You get nothing. You have to have, if you look at all the other big famous rappers, like even like Dr. Dre is a prime example. He's got a business enterprise on the side, Beats by Dre. He's got a structure. He's got something to sell off. But obviously he's got the music too. And most artists that make music these days, they don't have a website. They don't have the merch. You got to have all that ready first. Then you start making the music. I'm only 11 months in. I'm starting to freestyle now on the mic in the city. I've got like one really good album. The two albums before that, they were that me having a crack. So my flow wasn't good. Maybe I wasn't that good at rhyming, but I had the structure with the website built, ready to go. That's been 6 months in the making from day dot. I've got all the merch. I've got suppliers overseas bringing everything over. I've got connections in Melbourne. It's all happening. So in the next 12 months, I guarantee you're going to see Stingray going up. I actually I couldn't believe this, but I got accepted for a modeling agency for acting as well. That was last weekend. Because I've got that, I've got the music, I've got my day job, I've got the merch, I've got the website, and I'm going all in the deep end, my friend. Exactly. I want to get to where you are, you know, like.
And now you're on a podcast.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you so much.
Have you done a lot of interviews? Have you been on a lot of shows? And
first time, my friend.
This is the first time. So normally what I ask is if somebody's been on a bunch of episodes, let's just act like you've been interviewed tons of times.
Yeah.
What's an interview question you've never been asked that you've always wanted to be asked?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like probably where do I see myself in short term, like a year, 2 years, and I've got the answer for that. It's been in my head. Yeah. Is I'm going straight onto MTV. I want to be in a lead role in a fucking movie somewhere, even if I'm a tree in the background. I don't care, because I'll be fucking grabbing my vape, I'll be blazing, I will become the tree, and I'm really good at fucking acting. I'll do whatever the fuck it takes, you know what I mean?
As long as
I'm not getting no hand jobs by an old dude in a car. That's my level. I'm not doing that.
I mean, you would have to consent to that. You'd really.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I think there'd be a lot of factors into that happening before it would happen.
Yeah, I think so. Fucking hell, I hope so. I want the cash first. You got the money, I got the honey. That's the way I see it. Like, boom.
Yo, I would rock one of those t-shirts though. The shirt that you're wearing, that
oh yeah, appreciate it, bro.
I would rock that.
Thanks, bro.
Sure, man.
You have to check out my website. 20 days from today, it'll be out. So,
I hope I remember.
It's all right. You're up there, I'm down here, but we'll get there somewhere someday,
bro. I don't look at it that way. I mean,
yeah,
I get that you might look at it that way, but like I see us pretty even. I see us pretty equal. I don't see me as doing better than anybody else, and I don't see anybody else doing better than me or worse than me. Everyone,
yeah, probably the wrong words. Yeah, sorry, mate. I meant to say more experience, more life experience.
Oh, I get it.
You know what I mean?
Everybody's got their own drum, and everyone beats it in the way that they do. And
oh, so boring. I wanted to smash the drums with you.
I really think that has a lot to do with consistency, and that's I think why I started beating the drum before the shows every time,
mm-hmm.
and then like and even taking it to the ring with me and going, you know, and going and beating the drum before I wrestle, because it's just mm-hmm. to me it's like a little bit of like these practices, these words, this sincerity, all of this to me is ceremonial. And it's like Yokozuna used to put salt down on the ring before his matches. Like it's mm-hmm. it's
very tribal.
Yeah. It feels very tribal to me.
Well, the drums are very ancient, aren't they? Like that's probably one of the first instruments that was ever made. I haven't researched this, but I'm guessing it would have to be.
The first drum was made by made with the first wheel. They took the wheel and they put cow skin over it and turned it into a drum.
Is that a drum? That's
weird. I'm totally making that up.
They had a burnt out V dub in the side there. This is back when the woolly mammoth was walking past and they're like, oh yeah, let's just chop this up and put that on. So good. I went to the different topic, but I went to the fruit store yesterday and the lady said, do you want a box? And I said, I don't want no problems. I just want to pay for my fruit and leave. And I was so confused. I was like, why is she fucking asking the box of me? I want to pay and go. Have you ever had that? Some random offered you out?
Yeah. You want a box?
Yeah. I just want to pay and leave. I just want to pay and leave.
I was in a FYE, like it's like a CD store or like a DVD mm-hmm. store, and some kid came up to me and he had like all these shopping bags, and he put all the shopping bags down on the ground in the store, and he went right to me and he put his arms out like this and he went, I dare you to try to body slam me. I was like, does this guy know I'm a wrestler? Like, I don't know if this. I was like, I have no idea why this guy would target me out to say, I dare you to body slam me. But I was like, no, thanks, pal. You go ahead. Good seeing you.
The Undertaker was honestly my most favorite character, and it's just funny because it's a little bit acting too when he does the eye roll back thing and he stands there and then all the lights change and then it's like and he's a big boy too, like fuck
yeah,
pretty big.
Yeah, Undertaker definitely is. It's tough too because I was like, what era are you talking about? And you were like, oh, the Undertaker was the biggest star. I'm like, yeah, but Undertaker was the biggest star there for the 30 years, so that covers.
Yeah,
a big
amount. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, who else? Who else is a big star when you were watching it?
Well, I haven't seen you. Well, when was your era? Like, how long were you actually wrestling for?
I still wrestle.
You're still doing now.
Yeah,
do
I
it,
never stopped.
do you do it professionally, or do you have like a martial arts background? You do too, or
I'm a professional wrestler. That's what I do. That's what I've been.
It's super cool, dude.
I never took time off. I took 13 months off in 2011, and I came right back. So
you have like heaps of injuries and stuff.
No,
you have like a long list. No, you're good.
No, I'm great, man. I've been super lucky. I've not been ever seriously hurt. I've broken my nose a couple times. I broke my fingers. Mm-hmm. I broke my toes. But
fuck, that's gonna hurt, bro. Ooh.
Just a couple things like that, but nothing ever like major that took me out. The way I broke my toes was like, there's this tag move where you like take both guys take an arm and a leg, and they like like a backflip sort of thing with you. And I landed my feet straight like that on the mat.
Oh, like a toe punch. Oh,
it was like I stopped all my toes all at the same time, and I'm pretty sure the big toes broke.
So you won't be using that on any potential future girlfriends. It'll have to be your fingers instead of your toes because they're fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, so you know, I've never decided that it was a good idea to bring my feet into the mix for anything.
Yeah, some people are full on like with foot fetishes and stuff. My ex girlfriend, like, she was very humble, didn't drink, didn't smoke, but I'm about to smoke. See, it's a 200 degrees, it heats up. His toes on it, and I tried to get her onto footfinder.com, so people take photos of your feet and they pay you money, but then there was too many creepy guys on there, so I was like, oh, fucking, I don't want you on that shit, like, it's not good.
Well, I mean how would it affect you if there's creepy guys on there, like,
as long as I'm getting paid,
if they're paying you. I mean, do they pay for pictures of men's feet too, or just women's feet?
Well, this is the thing. See, I've been told I've got really nice feet, so I've thought of doing it myself. Because you would know, you understand this as a businessman having different revenues for income. You've got to have different income. You can't just rely on one. And I thought, I'll fucking do that. I'll dress up, paint my nails, whatever, take some photos. I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I'm straight, but I'll fucking do that. If it's for cash, why not? Stingray does what he wants.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't done it yet, but still.
It's how is it going to hurt? You know, you get some income from your feet pics. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Get them.
100%.
Something I constantly think about, and I've said it a few times, not a whole lot, but I always talk about how, like, when I go, you guys all have my money in your pockets already, and you don't know it's my money yet, but sooner or later, it's going to be all mine. Like, when I keep coming up with million-dollar ideas every, I would say probably a few per day, and I'm constantly writing them down. I have ideas.
Why don't you write them down? Send them to me, inbox, off this, just so I can get a couple, you know what I mean? To see where you're at.
Sure, yeah.
Get it going in Melbourne over here.
I mean, dude, I'm happy to have that experience. I would love to be in Australia. I've never been to Australia before.
Oh, you've got to come here, brother. It's so good. Like the beaches here, I don't know what they're like in America. Absolutely amazing. Drive the four-wheel drive, back up into the waves, cast out your surf rod into the white washes. So you get little whitings like that. Beautiful fish all day. Just bang, pulling them in, bang. Like
then you take the 305 train back.
No, the 305 train goes into the sand. And if you're banging some girl, then you got sand in the pussy. And then you got to go wash off, but then you don't swim at nighttime because that's when sharks come out. There's just so much shit going on, and there's emus on the beach. Dingoes are bad too at the moment. It never used to be that bad, but everyone's feeding them all the time. So they're wild dogs pretty much. And fuck, man. Last time I went camping, giant goannas. If you've ever seen them fight, I don't, they're like I don't know if you've got big lizards in America, but these things are savage, man. And the saliva is poisonous too. Big claws on the thing, and they'll just bite on, and then they just basically like a crocodile, just death roll, and super scary. Like crocodiles, iguanas. Not sorry, not what's the other one? Kangaroos are too. They're pretty scary as well, but not as much as getting your ass eaten out by a bear.
The Jim Jeffries special that he did about the koalas in the wildfires.
Legend.
Oh my God, that was so great. And he's like, they're eating this thing that's making them high, so they're just like getting high and they're lazy and they
The
oh my.
eucalyptus leaves.
The eucalyptus leaves were making them high.
You
Dude.
can play them too. Like if you put them in your mouth a certain way, you can like blow on them and it makes a sound,
That
which I
sound
could
that
do a
sound
little bit.
that sounds made up. You're making that up.
100%, I'm not making this
I'm
up. It's an
kidding.
Aussie thing. No, I'm saying, yeah, it's all cool. It's an Aussie thing. You can actually play a eucalyptus leaf. Like it whistles and it hums when you stretch it out and you blow on it a certain way. But what's made?
Kind of like a Mylar balloon,
What's
or like
that?
a
Mylar balloon.
plastic bag. You
Oh yeah,
blow.
where you strip them out? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about hoop snakes? Have you heard of them in Australia?
No.
Hoop snakes? They're snakes. They roll up into a hoop like a hula hoop, and they'll roll at you, and then unravel and go cha.
Oh man, I really thought that they were going to be good at playing basketball. I really
No,
thought,
they don't. There's no such
I
thing as
thought, I
that.
really
So.
thought hoop snakes, I really thought hoop snakes were going to like join LeBron James in Space Jam 3.
Have you seen that movie or
The first two, yeah, I saw Space Jam and the second Space Jam movie.
they were good, man, like old school, you know what I mean? I haven't seen
Yeah.
number three yet.
There isn't a three. I was making that up for the hoop
That's why I
snake.
haven't seen
Yeah,
it,
you haven't seen it because it's not real. It doesn't
eh?
exist.
You got me, brother, you got me. So what time is it over there? You said it's super early, isn't it? You just finished your other day job you're doing and cruise
Right now
home.
it's 7:11, 7 a.m. So yeah,
Man, you're a
I got,
trooper. You are a
I
trooper.
think I got out of the bar at like, I got out of the bar at like 2:30-ish, and then I went to the gym for a while, and I came home and I hung out with my brother, and then he left, and I came in here.
I never really got into like bartending and stuff like that. It's so good to meet like heaps of chicks, but it's probably bad too because you've got to deal with all the dickheads. You know what I mean? So it's like if you're stuck in the middle kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like I don't bartend, I bar back, which is like basically just going and grabbing buckets of ice and like different cases of beer and restocking the freezers or the fridges
Yeah, that's
behind
cool,
the
man.
bar. And you know, it's easy. It's easy and it's cash in hand kind of thing. But you know, I have zero interest in meeting girls. I have zero interest in meeting
Oh yeah,
chicks.
obviously because you've got someone, but I'm just saying from a single guy's point of view,
Oh yeah,
that would
yeah.
be.
But I was thinking about this earlier today too, man. Like I was behind the bar, like putting emptying out a case, throwing the bottles into the fridge, and this girl was like, "Can you grab me a Coke?"
Did she say it with that voice? Because I would have
She
been
was,
like, here you go, bang.
"Can you grab me a Coke?" And then she had like a pouty face on, And and I was like automatically like, oh man, I can see that this girl probably uses this on all guys, like this same shit. And I was like, you don't have to beg. You don't have to do whatever it is you're doing. You don't have to do it. I'll get you the coke. Leave me alone. I don't want any more conversation with you at all beyond this.
Batshit crazy. But that's the thing too with girls, like girls that are batshit crazy, like mental. They're so good in the bedroom. Like, fuck, it's like it's so bad. But then you kind of want the innocent, sweet girl, but you want it in between somewhere. So there's like a scale. So the batshit crazy, then the innocent, sweet girl, but you want to be in the middle. So everyone's crazy. I'll be honest. Like, guys are crazy. Everyone's a little bit insecure. Everyone's a bit jealous. But you got to find that happy medium in between where it doesn't affect your relationship. And then you're in paradise. Like, amen with that.
I'm super in that good spot right now, in the right, in the happy medium.
Lucky girl.
I'm good. I'm really good on that.
That's the thing. Like, you don't know what's around the corner these days. Like, not just talking COVID shit or whatever. Like, life's taken for granted. Like, we could die tomorrow. You don't know like what's gonna happen. Been working with my construction background too. Even my old man used to nurse people that were crushed by tilt panels, and like your legs just crushed. Like, as soon as you take the panel off, it's just all toxic blood. You die instantly. People get killed all the time. Apprentices. There was a guy in Melbourne last year, or maybe 2 years ago, a young apprentice got crushed by a scaffold. There's crane collapses. I think there was one in America not long ago too, where the tower crane come down. You don't know what's walking out. What about the people that were at the bottom of the crane?
These are high risk jobs. Like, I've thought back on jobs that I've had that have been pretty high risk and been like, wow, I survived every day. Mm. Every single day of doing whatever that high risk job was, I survived it every single day. It could have easily gone. What's that?
I've worked at Hungry Jack's in Brisbane, and we used to get a lot of Indigenous people and white people, everyone, all mixes from all life, but they come in, and the Hungry Jacks that we were working at, they tend to like come in and not want to pay for stuff, and they jump the counter and just take all the burgers. And we're all kids and teenagers, and some of them young girls. They didn't want a bar of it, so they basically got a free feed. And that was a very high risk job. Or you go to Brisbane, Strathpine, work for Hungry Jacks at the set of lights there. Everyone knows Brisbane, Strathpine. It's right near the Westfield. Dangerous job. I'm not going back there to that spot.
just a couple more quick things, and I'll send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake.
No drama, so, man.
I like to do this thing that I call audio time travel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the audio time travel, what you'll do is this recording, this first podcast of yours, that you've been interviewed on,
I'm sure I'll learn from it.
someone who loves you, somebody either like your kids, your girlfriend, your wife, your parents, whoever's coming across this stuff 20 years from now. So in the year 2043, they'll find this recording, and you're going to give
a good question. Yeah.
Timestamp on this very moment, and a special message to inspire them to become a better version of themselves.
Ooh, from this is so from right here
in 2023. What are you saying to those people?
Those people that I cared about, not the other people I don't care about, but I would say, man, you got to get out. You got to find the loophole. If it takes 8 months of you taking off time with your work, and it's 8 months of hustling and grinding and just finding your way out of, you could say, the blue pill or the matrix or whatever you want to say, spend all that time and do shit that you're not supposed to do. Like, fucking, mate, I've done so much that I didn't even have no idea. Invested in a business, started a business. I got fucking no idea. Nothing but toothaches, headaches, fucking dramas, sleepless nights, all this crazy shit. And you know what? There's light at the end of the tunnel now. And I really am fucking over working for someone else. So I want to start doing my own thing. You can do your own thing. Invest in property is the biggest thing too. 100%. Like, you got to have an investment property. If it's 1, 7, whatever. I won't say how many I got because I got stingers cash, but that is the key. Property, primary income, and then you've got to have 2 or 3 other hustles on the side. Business, sell something, do something. As long as it's legal, kids, go to church and stay out of stay out of trouble. That's the message there, my brother. Stingray. Sting to the ray. That's it. Straight up.
So when you do get this site up, you can send me the site and I'll put it in the description of the episode when it's ready.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
I'll absolutely put it in the episode. What I want to say to you, man, and this sort of means a lot for me to have your attention and your effort and the fact that like anything at all that's like to me the effort and time and currency are like, I mean, that all that is more of a currency to me than money is. Attention for people is fleeting so quick. They're on to the next thing. 7 seconds.
I do agree with that. That's it. Short. It's like, sit down, listen, have some time. We're probably going to run out of time, but still, that's like what's going on.
So I just want to say, like, and if you ever feel like, I want you to feel like fully welcome and free and safe to say and do whatever you want. Whenever you're in my company, you don't have to hesitate. If you ever feel like I can be a resource to you in any way, reach out to me, call me. I'm here to talk to you anytime. I know we're 14 hours difference, but it makes no difference. It makes no difference. I'll
appreciate that, man. You're one of the bros. And same, like when Stingray kicks off and it's gonna, because I'm going to make it kick off, mate, I'm going to be dropping your name everywhere because you are the man. You're my number one. You're my go-to bro. Thank you. I really appreciate it, brother.
All right.
You're a nice bloke.
Thanks a lot. Is there anything else that you'd like to ask or say to me while we're on the record? So this is going to be there's right now. What's fascinating to me.
Okay. Yep. I got you. I'm going to be the man. It's happening. I'm number one. Okay. I'm going to be the king. I'm going to make your wife remove the wedding ring coming in when I'm singing, like whatever. But why did you choose me? Like, that's what I want to know. You just randomly, how do you do that? What's your process? You go through, do you have like certain people you look up? And then how did you actually come across me? Because I only joined Instagram 4, maybe 5 months ago, and I've got 1,000 followers now. And so I'm new to the whole Instagram thing. I'm new to the online world, everything. I just went in all my heart and soul, the whole lot. And yeah, so yeah, that's the question.
I think one of your music videos came up in like my suggested stuff on this discovery page on Instagram. And I was just like, it would be interesting to see if he wanted to have a conversation with me and chat and get some, you know, maybe I really love to lend this platform to people who,
that's cool, dude.
Who, you know, may not have the opportunity to kind of get their voice heard by the people who are listening to me.
Mm-hmm. That's super cool. Respect that.
Thanks, man.
I actually had someone say to me the other day, they go, your stuff is fire. It's crazy. Cause like, I'm pretty toned down now because due to respect with you and the viewers, but some of the stuff I put out, I've had fucking multiple restrictions on my accounts. I've been shadow banned. I'm probably going to lose this account and have to start up another one again. And it's because the stuff I put out there, it isn't racist or sexist or too masculine or anything like that. It's just fucking cooked. Like, where I'm living in Melbourne, there's like parked out cars and stuff. So I go do music videos on top of the car with a cricket bat and just fucking like level this thing, fucking do whatever I can, wrestling moves, whatever, smash shit up. It's so much fun, man. But they say it's promoting violence. I was like, man, it's a fucking burnt out car. Like, get over it.
You're promoting violence on a car.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in a Michael Jackson video. I don't know. Yeah, I think the song was like, it's black, it's white, that song. It's black, it's white, it's dead, you can be. And then he's like beating the shit out of a car. But
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, so I feel like you should be able to totally get away with that if Michael Jackson got away with
it. No, these days, my friend, it's not as easy as that. Like, the technicalities when it goes to community guidelines on Facebook, Instagram, and that is so broad. They actually, in the legislation, they don't say you can't hit a car window with a baseball bat. It's just promoting violence, which could be anything. You know what I mean? I could fucking scrunch up a bit of paper and throw it at the phone on this live stream now, and they'd be like promoting violence. It's so broad. Like, you just gotta, it's life, you know, could deal with it.
Well, I mean, I'm in a violent sport, in a combat sport. I talk about it, but I'm not promoting violence. I mean, it's a thing that appears to be violent, but it's an art form.
Maybe that's the thing. I should change the name and call it a sport. Stingray sport. That's a sport.
Yeah.
Could be.
Combat sports.
Or easy now, as.
The way we wrap up every episode is I'll say to you, are you familiar with Jerry Springer?
Yeah, for sure. Jerry Springer. Okay. He's the man.
So what I'll do is I'll say, you know how he had the final thought for every show?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is, hypothetically, I'm gifting you this show. This is your first episode, your pilot episode of your new podcast called Evolving with Stingray. In a very Jerry Springer's final thought type of way, how would you wrap up the most important messages to send people home with an inspired message?
Okay, two key points to this, finishing this stingray, is number one is look after your back, because I've got back surgery coming up, maybe in a couple of weeks' time. It's a bit of a high-risk surgery because I need to get the penis reduction because it's doing my back in, okay? I was just born that way. I'm sorry. It's a stingray lifestyle. And second is fucking do whatever the fuck you want, man. Fucking go out. If you want to fucking chase that fucking checkout chick you've been looking at in the fucking supermarket and she doesn't even know who you are, say, go up and approach her. Tell her you know where she lives. You know what I mean? And you want to take her out to dinner. You've been watching her through the window. Whatever. Who gives a fuck? As long as you have a good heart and you're not intentionally going to go out and hurt anyone, do the craziest shit, whatever you want to do. Fucking bang, stingray lifestyle. That's me. Till the day I die. Good heart, but I'm going to do some crazy shit. You should do it too. Best episode ever.
Do you have a favorite impression that you do? Do you do any impressions?
Not really, to be honest. I just fucking, it's just stingray mode. It just comes up.
Okay.
Just do whatever the fuck I want, pretty much. But I think I'm too brutally honest. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I think in the aspect of like, being an entertainer, it's something like I can easily understand it. Being somebody who jumping right into a character and being above average and being always a little extra, that's something I can fully understand and fully relate to. But I wouldn't say you're too brutal, but being sincere and being in your character is it's a fine line, but I'll walk it here with you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Could you say in whatever I say in whatever your best impression is, but say you could say like Stingray. The way we wrap it up is I always have the guests say in their best impression to say, be fun, have safe, keep evolving. That's the way we wrap up the show.
Exactly. Be safe, my friends. Keep evolving. And always, as Stingray does, piss excellence. Piss excellence. Is that it?
All right, guys.
Do you want me to pause a little bit?
No, you're good, man.
Can I shake your hand? Can I virtually shake your hand? Can we go in there and just do like a little? That's so good, bro. You got the robots.
Okay.
Robot. Wait, no, it's a pleasure, my friend.
It has been incredible pleasure. Yeah, man. I look forward to seeing your growth. I look forward to seeing you win. I love it. Thanks, I can't wait. And
you know what? You're a really good bloke because that's when you really want to see someone else do well and makes you happy. It's so good.
Yes.
That's the positive attitude we need, mate. Everyone in this world should listen to you. And to Stingray Pissing Excellence.
I hope to fall on any ears that need to hear me for real. Like that's how I
Thank
truly
you,
feel.
Brother.
And I want to add value to this world. And I want, if that comes through one set of ears at a time, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
If this is your first time checking out the show, anybody, if this is the first time you're checking it out, thanks for coming in and spending some time, spending the currency of your effort and your attention here on the podcast. The only call to action I'll ask is if you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, let me know you exist. This is part of what I do it for, you know, part of what I do it for. And I want to know I'm not doing it for nothing. So let me know you exist. If you like the show, let me know you exist by hitting the like button, commenting,
give him a like.
And, you know, make sure you're kind. Just stay kind. Stay as kind as you can. And
from the heart.
And be from the heart. Be as sincere and as kind as you can. And if you can't be sincere and be kind, then just be sincerely quiet.
Yeah, fucking zip it like you're in a cinema. Shh. Oh, easy, brother. Easy.
Okay. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving.
Always be a ninja, too.
Hola. Show's over.